Well, back in 2006, Rochelle and I, Rochelle, my wife, she's in the back. If you didn't know, that's my wife, Rochelle Chakraborty. We've been married for a long time, quite a long time. Well, we have been married for how many years, honey? I'm just kidding. We got married in 2004, August 27th, and we've been married for 6 years. Oh, wait, I got my maths wrong. Anyway, back in 2006, on our wedding anniversary, we went to Rochester for our wedding anniversary. We took a vacation there. You can laugh. Yes, Rochester. We went to Rochester for a vacation. You can laugh, but it works for us. While on this vacation, we both love action and suspense movies. So we saw this new movie with a well-known action movie, suspense movie star. We have watched some of his movies before. We liked it. And so this new movie, new release came out. We wanted to go and watch this movie. We went to the theater hall, bought tickets, went in, started watching the movie. 15 minutes into the movie, we came out. 15 minutes into the movie, we were so disgusted with the movie. The movie was, the language was horrible. The language was so bad. Neither of us, I mean, especially me being a guy, never have I heard such a language before in any movie. Of course, Rochelle watches more of romantic comedy. And I watch more of things getting blown up. You know, gunfire is the music in the movie. But anyway, it was so horrible. The language was so horrible. And the treatment of people, and especially women, was so horrible in that 15 minutes. It was just disgusting. We came out of the movie, and we said, we both said, we have made a big, big mistake in selecting to watch this movie. And going to watch, it was a big mistake that we had made. We both said to each other, sorry, it's a bad movie. We made a mistake in selecting that movie to watch that movie. Now, we all make mistakes. Some of my mistakes might have been bigger than yours. Okay, but we all make mistakes. We all have done things that we shouldn't have. We all have said things that we shouldn't have. We all have watched things that we shouldn't have. You know, we all wish that there were some people that we had never met. Some people, a date that we should have never went on. A business trip that we should have never taken. Relationship that we should have never entered into. A purchase we should have never made. How many of you are with me on that? A purchase that we should have never made. a job never accepted. Alcoholic beverages that we should have never consumed. We all have made mistakes. And you know, some of my mistakes might be bigger than yours, but we all have made mistakes. And the list can go on and on and on and can represent many mistakes from many areas, many facets of our lives. The fact of the matter is that we all have made mistakes and we wish that we had not made them, that we could somehow correct them. We could somehow, maybe if there was a magic marker and our life was this big, huge whiteboard, that everything that we did were being written down, and if there was this magic marker that we could just take and erase those periods of mistakes, those periods of our lives, we wish that we could do that. Or if there was this time machine that we could lay our hands on and we could just go back to that time when we had done those things, when we had made those mistakes, we could somehow go back and make things right. Okay. We all wish that. I have wished that there are some things that I shouldn't have done, some things that I said I shouldn't have said, some things that I watched that I shouldn't have watched. Like I said, the list can go on and can represent many times, many areas, many facets of our lives. You might be sitting there and you're thinking, okay, is there any hope? You know, I know that I've made all these mistakes. I know that you have made some mistakes, Pastor, too, but you're saying that. But is there any hope for us? This morning, I want you to know that there is hope for all of us. There is hope for people like you and me who make mistakes, who have made mistakes in the past and have probably you are in a mistake. You're in the present and you're making some mistakes. You're going through something. You know it's the wrong thing. You're still going through it. And you might even make some mistakes in the future. But I want you to know that you and I have hope because the Bible, in the Bible, God says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 7, in NIV version, it says, all scripture, NIV is another version of the Bible, New International Version. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I want you to understand one thing. It says, the man of God. Now, you first must come to God. You must first become a man of God by receiving forgiveness of your sin through Jesus Christ. And then only everything that is in here will make sense. Then only it will make sense to follow this and through this making your life right. Because it says, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I want to bring to your attention another version, a different version. It's a modern version. It kind of speaks to us the way you and I communicate, that you and I converse. And in the Message version, it says, every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. Now, this verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, has been the key verse that we have been using for the last couple of few weeks. We have been going through a series called Living Adequately. Come on, people. We've been going through a series called Living Adequately, and the premise of this series was that we all, at some point in our lives, have felt inadequate. Whether you are shaking your head or you are not, I believe that all of us, at times in our lives, we have felt inadequate, not knowing what to do. Simply, I will define inadequate, not knowing what to do. You wish, if only you knew how to be a better husband, how to be a better wife, how to be a better dad, a better mom, a better son, daughter, whatever your role, you know, you wish just, I could just, you know, I don't know, I'm a teenager, I don't know what to do, I'm a young adult, I don't know what to do, I'm going through all these relationships, my parents are telling me I should do this, I should not do that, I just don't know, I feel very inadequate in this juncture of my life. Even though none of us go around saying that I feel inadequate. I mean, if I went up to you and I said, hey, how are you doing? I'm not a betting man, but I'm ready to bet $100 that you will never, ever, ever answer me, oh, just inadequate. If you were a student and you're studying in college or you're in school and I say, hey, how's your studies going? How's college going? How's school? You are not going to say, oh, just inadequate. You even won't say it's just adequate because our society, our culture has labeled two separate words, two separate antonyms, the same kind of meaning. You don't want to say just adequate because saying adequate is just enough. I'm just barely making it. I'm just barely going through it. Inadequate, again, the same kind of meaning. You don't have it together. The Bible tells us that, yes, you have felt inadequate in many aspects of your life, many areas of your life. But every part of Scripture, every part of God's Word, every part of this Bible is God-breathed, meaning God has inspired this. God is the source of these, everything that has been written in this. And useful one way or another, it just doesn't. Every part of the Scripture, everything that is in the Bible applies to every area of our lives. It's useful one way or another. And then it says that showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live in God's way. Now, in the last couple of weeks, we have talked about showing us the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. We need to have a personal relationship with Him to understand how and what God wants to do in our lives, how He wants to make us adequate, how He wants to put our life together, how He wants to shape us up. And then we talked last week that you know, it exposes our rebellion. It teaches us how to be obedient, how to follow the Word of God, how to follow the Bible. This week, we are going to close. We are going to close this series, Living Adequately. And what we're going to take a look at is godly living. We're going to take a look at how it says that it corrects our mistakes, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. And the Bible says that through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. I had shared with you how one January weekend, this January weekend, we found out that our pipe, our hot water pipe, was frozen. And I had no idea how to get it unfrozen. I mean, my wife shared with me, oh, you take a hairdryer and you just go over it, you blow the hairdryer and you try to unfreeze it. I tried that wherever I could see the pipes, wherever my eye could see the pipes, and it didn't work. So my father-in-law, great handyman, called and asked, how's the frozen pipe scenario going on? And we said, it's same, it's still the same. We're just waiting for hot, warm weather to come and it would unfreeze itself. So he said, well, after work I'll stop by. So he did stop by, and I had a hair appointment to go, and as I'm leaving, I see him stepping out of his truck with his cover up. Like, why did he bring his cover up? I go to my hair appointment, I come back, he's still downstairs in the basement. I ask my mother-in-law, so what's going on? Where is he? It's like, oh, he's in a crawl space. And I'm like, we have a crawl space in our basement? We've lived there for 3 years, and I finally made a discovery. A discovery equal to man landing in moon, that we have a crawl space in our basement. And he was there for over an hour, blow-drying it, and finally it did get on. Unfrozen. That made me feel really inadequate, not knowing what to do in that situation. Now, you and I probably have felt inadequate oftentimes, and we have made some decisions, we have made some mistakes. We have felt inadequate in a situation, you know, some date that we went on, some business trip that we took, some people we met, some relationships that we went into, some money that we spent. We just did not know what decision to make. We just didn't have a guiding principle. We didn't have something to go by and saying, this is going to be a mistake if I do this. Or maybe you did it anyway, and it was a mistake. But like I said, that we have hope. You and I have hope. Because God wants to correct our mistakes and train us to live in His way. But for Him to be able to do that, you must first have a personal relationship with Christ. You must first know the truth. You must first decide to live in obedience. And then only can He correct your mistakes and train you and me to live in His way. No matter how big our mistakes has been, no matter how fragmented and out of shape our life has become due to the people we met, a date that we went on, a business trip we had taken, the relationship that we entered into, a purchase we had made, a job that we accepted, alcoholic beverages that we had consumed. And these are just a few scenarios in life. Like I said, the list can go on and on. And represent many aspects, many areas, many facets of our lives. But God's promise is that He will help us correct our mistakes and train us to live His way so that our life is put together and shaped up for the tasks that God has for you and me. The question is, are you ready? Are you willing? Are you willing to dive into His Word and dive into a relationship with Him and just letting Him show the truth, letting Him show you the truth, letting Him expose your rebellion so that your mistakes can be corrected, so that you can be trained up to live according to God's way, so that your life can be put together, so that your life can be shaped up, because God wants that. Believe me when I say God is genuinely interested in our lives. in all of our lives. He is. Because if he was not, he wouldn't have brought me here. My life was destined to end. Some of you know the story. My parents had decided to commit suicide. One fateful night, they had poison, they were going to mix it with food and eat and die. But God intervened because he is genuinely interested in our lives. That night, Campus Crusade for Christ, the Jesus film team came. They showed the movie, Jesus film, which is based on the Gospel of Luke. They watched that movie, gave their life to Christ, did not commit suicide. I'm here. Because they knew the experience that God is genuinely interested in their lives. I want you to understand that God's promise is that he will help us correct our mistakes and train us to live his way so that our life is put together and shaped up for the tasks that God has for our lives. Simply put, no matter how inadequate your life feels due to the mistakes that you and I have made, God wants to make you adequate. God wants your life to be put together and shaped up. He wants to turn your setbacks into comebacks. He wants to turn your and my setbacks into comebacks. And he is genuinely interested in our lives, in your and my life. Even though my parents gave their life to Christ, it took me about a year to finally come to realize why they had given their life to Christ, why they had accepted Christ. And this is the verse that changed, that made me understand. And we're going to take a look at that. This is the verse that made me feel. Because Jesus calls us with his arms open and stretched wide, saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29 and 30. There is no pretense. There is no strings attached in that invitation. Anything that you have done, any mistakes that you have been in, there have been some kind of strings attached. There might have been some kind of pretense, but Jesus wants to make your, my life whole. He wants to make us adequate. He wants to make our lives put together, shaped up, without any strings attached, because he's calling you and me. All he's saying, all you need to do is just come to him and accept his rest. The mistakes that you have made might have made you weary and burdened. I don't know where you are in your life right now, but Jesus knows. I don't know what you are carrying around, but Jesus knows. And his call this morning to you is, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. No pretense. No strings attached. Now, at this point in this teaching, you're here, you're sitting there, and you might be thinking, or you're listening to this recorded, to the recorded copy of this message, and you might be thinking, you have two thoughts. You have this thought or the other thought. You have two thoughts at this point. One, you might be in denial. I do want to address this group. You might be in denial. You are saying to yourself, "Nah, I haven't made any mistakes in my life, or my mistakes are not that bad." Everyone does that. Everyone in my class did that. So did I. Yeah, it's a little bit. I have some setbacks, but that's fine. You are saying that does not matter. My mistakes doesn't matter. I'm fine with my life. I want you to understand this. God is really very genuinely interested in your life, and you do not need to live in denial or fool yourself. You don't need to. His invitation is very much for you. He wants you to find rest in him. He wants you to be trained up so you can live adequately God's way, so your life can be put together and shaped up. Really. He wants you. You know, there is this, sometimes handymans would put ads in Penny Saver and they would say, no job too big. And do you know where that originated from? Actually, God put out an ad in the World Saver and he says, no sin too big, no mistake too big. Okay, none of that, nothing that you and I have done is big for him to correct and make our life put together and shaped up. The other thought you might have, and there might be another group and they have this thought, my mistakes are horrible and they are way too big. My mistakes just haven't messed up my life, but they have messed up others' life. And I just can't imagine that God wants me. I'm not sure. I can imagine how could he want such a person like me. I not only have messed up my own life, but I have messed up other lives too because of my mistakes. And I'm not sure that he wants to deal with someone like me. Well, I want you to understand this. There is no mistake, no sin. And like I said, that God put out an ad in the World Saver saying no sin, no mistake too big. No issues in your life that God cannot deal with. God is really, 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 very genuinely interested in your life. And you do not need to shy away from him. You do not need to doubt that God can and that he will. So if you are in denial mode this morning, I want you to receive what he has promised. He wants his invitation. Or if you are in a doubt mode this morning, my challenge is to come to him, because he's calling you to come to him and receive his rest. We all have felt inadequate one time or the other, or another time in our lives. Or it might just be the ongoing saga of some of our lives. But God is so genuinely interested in our lives that he wants to make us adequate. So here's the whole series in one sentence for you. If you have not remembered much from when we started 3 weeks ago, this simple sentence, if you want to write it down, if you want to live right, if you want to live an adequate life, you must live your life according to the Bible. And that can only happen when you have a personal relationship with the truth, Jesus Christ. And that can only happen when you live in obedience to that truth. Because then only God can correct your mistakes, train you up to live according to his way. Imagine with me. Imagine with me how our lives will look like if you and I daily lived our lives according to the teachings of the Bible. All of us. Whether you are a Christian, whether you are a follower of Christ, you have made your decision to follow Christ, or you have not. Imagine with me how your and my life would look like if we lived our daily lives according to the teaching of the Bible. Imagine with me how our homes would look like. Our husbands living their life according to the teaching of the Bible. Wives living their lives according to the teaching of the Bible. Mom, dad living their lives according to the teaching of the Bible. Children, son and daughter living their lives according to the teaching of the Bible. Imagine with me how our community would look like when it's dotted with homes here and there and here and there, where people individuals, as family unit, living their lives according to the teaching of the Bible. Just think, our marriages, our relationships, teenagers in our community, young adults, newlyweds, married couples, widowers, all kinds of people that you can think of. Just imagine with me how their lives would be, how adequate, how put together, how shaped up their lives would be, your and my life would be, if we lived according to the teaching of the Bible. But there is a minor problem. It wouldn't happen unless and until you have a personal relationship with Christ. And this morning, I want to give you that opportunity. I want to give this opportunity to you. You might be here and you may not have ever accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You may not ever have given your life totally, completely, absolutely to Christ. Or maybe you are here and you're saying, "Yes, Pastor Rahin, I remember doing that. I remember when I was such and such age or so and so date and so and so place. I remember doing that, giving my life to Christ. But I feel like I have fallen away. I feel like that I've slipped back. And this morning I want to rededicate my life. I want to give my life again so that I can have a personal relationship with Christ, so I can live in obedience to Him, so that my mistakes are being corrected and my life is put together, shaped up, so I can live an adequate life God's way." We're going to stop the recording now. I would like for all of us to just bow our head and close our eyes.